Welcome back to the Over the Monster podcast. This is your host, Jake Devereaux, and today I am joined by Keaton DeRocher of Over the Monster and of the Dynasty Guru. Keaton, how are you today?
I'm doing great, man. I've napped twice in preparation for this, so I am refreshed and ready to go.
Wow, the double nap. That is not something I have done in a while, but I did get a single nap in this weekend, which was excellent. I also went to go see the Avengers Endgame yesterday, and that was so good.
Very good. Yeah, I saw it twice. Saw it Friday and Saturday morning.
Wow. Yeah, that's awesome. I definitely want to see it again. So that was great. Certainly better than watching the Red Sox was this weekend. Yeah. Yeah. So
a little bit.
As we record this, the Red Sox got rained out Friday and then lost two straight to Tampa Bay at home. This past week wasn't bad. It actually, you know, Monday got rained out by Detroit, and then they ended up splitting that series, which I think that, you know, all things aside, there was a little bit of bullpen mismanagement in the first game of that doubleheader with Detroit. Overall, the Red Sox just aren't playing very good baseball. We thought that last week against Tampa Bay would be sort of the turning point, and Patrick and I talked about that here on the podcast, but lo and behold, it has not seemed to be the turning point. And I think that all that that's saying is that the issues that the Red Sox have are a little bit more deep-seated than, you know, just something that can be turned around by, like, one good series win. And so today on your April 28th edition of the show, or April 29th probably for most of you as you listen to this, we are going to discuss some injured Red Sox players and when they should be back, and then we're going to take a deep dive into some of the numbers behind your 11-17 Red Sox to see kind of whether or not this start is appropriate for the stats that the team's been actually putting up. So let's start with injuries, Keats. Brock Holt was scratched from a rehab assignment in Pawtucket. Seems like his eye is still aggravating him a little bit. Another second baseman, Dustin Pedroia, is going to begin a rehab assignment on Thursday in Portland, so that's a good sign for him. Eduardo Nunez is taking swings and is close to a rehab assignment, although that one hasn't officially been announced yet. Another second baseman here, Marco Hernandez, was activated from the injured list and is now playing at High A Salem. Brian Johnson threw a 25-pitch bullpen session. And lastly, J.D. Martinez was out for the second straight day with back spasms. So a whole bunch of injury stuff there. Anything catch your eye?
Not a ton. I surprisingly found myself longing for Brian Johnson because I feel like the bullpen needs any kind of stabilization it can get, and surprisingly, that's where we're at. That's what we got. So that's the one that I missed the most out of all those ones that you listed there. I need Brian Johnson back in my life, and I feel dirty for saying it.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I like Brian Johnson more than most people as well. I don't know if he's going to make that much of a difference, but yeah, it's definitely it's interesting. I think maybe the most interesting thing about all those injuries is that four of those guys are guys that's primary position with the Red Sox is second base, and that's also the position that Chavis is playing right now. And that brings us to our first big question of the night. And actually, this one was asked to us by a listener, Matthew Kitson. He says, what happens when Nunez, Holt, Pedroia eventually come back, because I can't imagine Chavis being sent down? And Chavis had another home run today, 441-foot blast. He also had a throwing error that cost the team a run. So, Keats, I'm going to kick this one to you. What do you think happens when all of these guys are healthy? Certainly, let's just assume that all these guys are healthy and no one else is on the IL. So what would they do if they were all ready to be on the team?
Well, another guy had an error today. Devers made his eighth. And honestly, at this point, I think what's going to happen is Devers is going to get benched and Chavis is going to go to third. Because right now, Devers isn't giving you what he needs to at the plate or in the field. And Chavis is. So I think if you're going to give playing time at second base to one of those other guys, I think you got to give Devers a break here just to kind of collect himself. Either set him down to get, you know, regular at-bats at AAA, or he's just going to end up taking, you know, several days off in a row and then end up back at third when, you know, Chavis gives someone a break at second. But I think that may be the direction they're headed.
That's a really interesting take. I don't necessarily know if I agree. I do think that Devers is underperforming. When you look at his numbers, he's got a 278, 375, 344 slash line. So Devers is not hitting for any power this year. He's getting on base at a high clip, but he has zero home runs on the season. And when you dig into his numbers a little bit more, he's hitting the ball into the ground just so much this year. He's got a 57.5% ground ball percentage. He's only putting the ball in the air 20.5% of the time. He's not taking very good at bats. We did get another listener question about this exact thing from Ben Jacobson. He says, why is Devers beginning to be so passive at the plate and taking strikes that are very hittable pitches? And then when he's behind the count, swinging at breaking balls and changeups in the dirt. I think that, you know, some of that is true, but a lot of this is just Devers showing his inexperience offensively. And he's certainly struggling, and I can't imagine that his struggles in the field are helping him at all mentally when he's up at the plate. He's probably right. Pressing to do something positive for the team.
I think it's one of those things where it's just kind of compounding. Like you said, he's pressing to try and do something positive, and then it's just kind of spreading to, you know, not helping him out. You know, I mean, you're right. He is getting hits. He's actually is this the best average he's ever had? What was his first season? Was not so bad. Well, flip back here. Yeah, it is. So yeah. 3 points higher than his rookie year. So he's doing well there. Highest on base percentage he's had. He's walking at the highest clip he's ever had. So he's doing some things right at the plate. But his launch angle is 3.8 degrees. So as you said, he's just dropping everything right in the ground. He's only barreling 1.4%, which the past two seasons he's continually barreled well over league average, and this isn't even close. So it's just his quality of contact just isn't there, and it feels like it's just he feels a lot of pressure on himself with what's going on in the field. He has, you know, Chavis and others breathing down his neck in the minors. I think it may be more mental than, you know, his actual abilities at this point.
Yeah, I would have probably said you were crazy for the idea of sending him down to work on things. But if Pedroia does come back and pushes Chavis off of second base, and Chavis were to play third base for like 2-3 weeks up here, I would, every day, I would not think that that would be a bad thing for sending Devers down to Pawtucket to work on some defense and work on some confidence at the plate. And it's crazy that we're saying that, but I really just think that that might be a solid idea. Man, I can't believe I'm agreeing with this right now.
Yeah, the talent's there. You can tell just by looking at him that he still has the skills. Like, I think Matt on the Locked On podcast brought up after his last error that he has flashes where he'll make just two ridiculous defensive plays in a row, and then he'll follow it up with just a laughable error. So you see the potential in the field, and we all know his potential at the plate, and it just kind of seems like it's mental at this point because, you know, we know he has the skills. It's just not putting it together.
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah, and he's been one of the biggest drains on the team so far. He's got a pretty much league average WRC plus, a little below right now, which is just not good enough for your third baseman, especially when he's chucking balls and costing the team runs like he did today. I mean, he cost the Red Sox 2 runs today with his error. So it's just, it's becoming extremely costly, especially when you're going to lose a game you know, 5-2 to a team when your offense isn't performing either. So, and Chavis has looked much more comfortable. He's getting on base at a high clip. He's hitting for power. Today's error for Chavis at second base was just simply him not knowing how to set his feet for a throw when turning a double play. That's exactly the type of thing that we talk about when we talk about a guy that just hasn't played a whole lot of second base. That's a correctable thing, and that's one of the knocks that Ian Kundle over at Sox Prospects, when he came on the Locked On podcast, talked about Chavis's defense at second base. He talked about him getting lazy with his footwork, and I think that that was just kind of what we saw today. So there's no perfect option right now at second or third, but I think you can't really expect the perfect option when your team is 11-17.
A positive note for Devers, though, is he's cut his strikeout rate by 8% compared to last season, which was his strikeouts, not that they were really outside of the league average, being in the mid-20s, but higher than you would have liked to have seen it. And right now it's at 16%, which is actually pretty impressive.
Yeah, that is solid. That's one good thing for Devers right now.
Yeah.
So what I want to do right now is I want to look at the team as a whole in a bunch of key offensive categories, pitching categories, and defense. A lot of these categories are taken right from FanGraphs, so they haven't been updated for today's game. So, you know, they will be updated with that. But this gives you a good snapshot of where the team has performed to this point in the year. So let's start with offense, Keaton. Here are some key offensive stats for the Red Sox on offense. They've gotten 84 WRC plus, which is 21st best in the major leagues, a 390 slugging percentage, which is 23rd best, a 320 OBP, good for 19th best. They have the 24th most homers in the major leagues. They've got a 306 wOBA, which is 20th. So let me ask you, Keats, what do all these numbers tell you so far about the way the offense has performed?
My initial reaction was I was actually kind of surprised that they were this bad. But the more I thought about it, the more I think that it made sense, because you're really only getting actual contributions from J.D. Martinez, Xander Bogaerts, Betts over the last week and a half to 2 weeks, and Benintendi. And that's it. So four guys, less than half your lineup, is actually getting hits, getting on base, and producing. And with Betts, it really was only until recently. So there's a lot of guys that are just not producing. Mitch Moreland is a confusing case because he has 18 hits on the season, and 12 of them are extra base hits. Seven of those are home runs. He's barely hitting over 200. Yeah. So it's essentially an extra base hit or nothing. So it's tough to say whether that's actually helping or hurting, because he has had some incredibly timely hits that has – I mean, there's no doubt he won a couple of games in the first week, but he really hasn't done a ton since then. So it's hard to put that in there. Steve Pierce has been a massive disappointment. And the outfield outside of Betts and Benintendi, which, you know, JBJ, we kind of assume this is – I mean, we hoped for better, but you're not going to take him out of the lineup because he needs the defense. So he's going to be there. And really, the two places where you knew you were going to suffer at the plate was catcher and center field, which is exactly what happened last year. But you assumed the rest of the lineup was going to pick him up. And that hasn't happened this year because we have a massive hole at second base, and first base has not lived up to the potential.
Yeah, I think the position that has most underperformed on the team so far has been center field with Jackie Bradley Jr. He's got zero home runs, just four RBIs. Jackie's got a slash line right now of 150, 233, 188 with just an 11 weighted runs created plus. And we did get a listener question from Riley Austin, who asked us, what happens if Jackie doesn't start hitting? So I'm going to turn that over to you, Keaton. What does happen if this continues for Jackie? Because I don't know if I've seen him this bad in a while. This has been one of the worst stretches that he's had in a Red Sox uniform.
I agree. Yeah, 100%. And to be honest, I'm not entirely sure, because who plays center in his place? Do you move Betts there and you put JD Martinez in right field and then maybe DH Devers? And then, you know, Chavis plays third?
Sure. I mean, that's a potential option, but then you've got JD Martinez, who's been dealing with back spasms and who you really don't want to expose that much in the field.
Right. I don't know who else you have that you'd feel good about in the outfield.
And this is where the Red Sox get exposed for their complete lack of depth, too, because it's not like you can look down at the minor leagues and be like, oh, yeah, let's take a look down there and see who can play outfield. No, if you look at the outfield for Pawtucket right now, you've got Gorky Sernandez, Rusney Castillo, Bryce Brents, Cole Sturgeon. I mean, these are not real options to come up. And if you look down even farther, you've got guys like Aneri Tavares, Tate Matheny. I mean, these are not good options at all.
Let's get desperate and just bring Duran right up. Single A to the majors.
Oh, man. Yeah. The jump from Salem to Boston. Yeah. The sad thing is he'd probably hit better than JBJ right now.
I think he would, too.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts? Where do you think the offense kind of sits right now?
I mean, well, in regards to Jackie, I don't think you could do anything. I think you just need to run him out there every day because you risk your other assets if you're exposing them to the field. I don't want to do that to JD Martinez, essentially, because he's one of the few things that is going right on the team. I actually think what you've been getting at catcher is just fine. So far, I don't think that you can really point to that as one of the big reasons why the team hasn't been performing. Other than that, I mean, the guys you look at are really just Rafael Devers. You want more consistency from Mitch. Steve Pierce is just not healthy right now, I don't think. I think that he is somebody who I would consider a IL stint for because he just doesn't look like himself. Steve Pierce is a really professional major league hitter. I mean, hell, he was the World Series MVP last year. Something's wrong with that guy right now. So I think that that's somebody you need to just take right out of the lineup right now. And unfortunately, Keaton, what is happening is our prediction for a really bad platoon at first base is actually coming to fruition after a super hot start for Mitch Moreland.
Yep, it sure is. It looked really good after about a week, but it's been on a rather sharp decline ever since.
Yeah, and I do think that there are certain guys who are getting better. Like, JD has been great all year. Bogies has been great all year. Benny has been better as of late. Betts has been better as of late. So I think there are signs of life, but you're going to need contributions from Jackie and Devers if this team is going to go anywhere this year.
Agree. Yeah, absolutely.
In Chavis's small time up here, though, 7 games, he leads the team with a 151 WRC+. Dude's getting on base at like a 407 clip right now.
I am just over the moon with the success that he's having. It's incredible. This brings a big smile to my face.
You know, it's funny. Even like, you know, your everyday average baseball fan, I think, looks at Michael Chavis and is just excited by the charisma of the kid. My mom talked to me about the Red Sox today, and she was like, hey, that Chavis kid really seems like he belongs. And I was like, yeah, he does. And she's like, yeah, he's really confident. And I think that observation is just pretty easy to see. You know, he never seems like the moment's too big for him. He expects to have good at-bats up there. He definitely has a very professional approach to hitting, and I think it helps that the kid has a little bit of swag.
I love it. And I'm hoping that the more comfortable he gets, the more he lets it out. I can't remember who he was talking to, so I apologize for not being able to give credit to the proper person on Twitter. But he was asked about this new school, old school bull crap that we have going on. And he was like, honestly, I may not show it when I'm rounding the bases, but I'm incredibly excited about every single home run that I hit. And I want to see that swag come out after he launches a bomb. Because I like as much disrespect as possible in the game.
Well, you and Tim Anderson both. That's
yeah.
for sure. Chavis was very cognizant to have a home run trot that was not too fast after his first home run. I don't know if you heard that or not, but he said that a lot of guys just get too pumped up and like basically sprint around the bases, and he didn't want to be that guy.
Yeah, I'm sure he was going to have more than one shot at it.
Yeah, that's for sure. Let's look at the pitching side of things. All right, let's go down the list. Pitching right now, 5.31 ERA as a team. That's 26th best in baseball, or 26th worst. I don't know how you want to phrase it. I guess it is 26th best. They have
sounds better that way.
Yeah, I guess we'll do that. It's a glass half full way of saying it. 5.78 ERA for the starters, which is 28th best. 4.70 ERA, which is 19th best, and that's for the relievers. As a team, they have a 14.7 K minus walk rate, which is 12th best in the league. That's one thing that we've talked about so far that's actually top half. This one really stood out to me here. 68.2% left on base percentage, which is 28th worst or 28th best in the league. That is not good. That means that when guys get on base, they are scoring a lot of the time. They do have a 421 Sierra, which is 11th best in baseball, another positive stat. 16.8% home run to fly ball ratio, which is 25th best in the league. So, Keaton, looking at all these numbers, how do we diagnose what's actually gone wrong with the pitching? And is there any sort of silver lining to these numbers?
No and no. These all make absolute sense. For the first week and a half, the relief pitching was the only saving grace that they had because all the starters couldn't pitch to save their lives. Now the bullpen is performing about as good as we expected them to, which isn't very. And the starters have, for the most part, started to turn it around, but they dug themselves such a massive hole. Like, I don't think we still only have one starter whose ERA is under 4. And, you know, a week and a half ago, we only had one starter whose ERA was under 7.5. So they were just in such a deep bucket to start the season that it's not going to be something that they get turned around easily. And there is positive news, though, because each of the starters, as they've progressed, have gotten better and better. With the exception of David Price, has actually been really good the entire year. But Sale, in particular, has been getting better and better and is still not where he wants to be, which is good news for us because we want him to be much better than he's performing right now. But Porcello's had a couple of good outings, which I'll absolutely give him credit for. Price has continued to gone out there and, you know, be a successful major league pitcher. Eduardo Rodriguez has thrown a couple of gems here as of late. The starting pitching at least is turning around, but they were so bad to start the season that none of these numbers surprised me whatsoever.
So I'm going to take some positives here from the performance. I think some of the performance from the starting pitching and relievers was a little bit fluky early on in a couple of different ways. I think that the starters definitely weren't ready for the year. We've talked about that at length. I also think they got a little bit unlucky at the beginning of the year. And I think that the bullpen pitched a little bit above their heads. So over the last 14 days, the Red Sox actually rank 5th in baseball with a 3.27 starters ERA, just behind the Dodgers, Cubs, Yankees, Rays. So that's really good, and that's sort of what you expect. And those numbers, when you dig into those, I mean, strikeout rate for those guys is 10.6, so that's really high. They're not walking very many. The starters have been great over the last couple weeks. The relievers, though, and this is the problem that we all expected coming into the year, the relief ERA over the last 2 weeks is 5.64, which is 27th best in baseball, just above the Orioles, Nationals, and Tigers. That is certainly not company you want to be in with the bullpen, but it seems like the pitching side of things is actually normalizing to what it should be. Strong starters, weak bullpen.
I agree with that. Yeah. And I think I will concede that Tyler Thornburg is not very good.
Well, it only took you a month, but I'll take it. I do think that there is something to the fact that a couple of those underlying metrics, though, in K-minus walk rate and Sierra, which kind of digs a little bit deeper, do say that this is an above average pitching group as a whole. I do think that they have a lot of work that they need to do with the bullpen. Maybe that is doing some of the things that we've mentioned on the show before, bringing up guys like Feltman, Hernandez, and then looking outside for some other options. The bullpen is certainly someplace where they are not going to make the playoffs if they don't address the bullpen, let alone be a 500 team. I mean, this could be an Achilles heel. But so far, out of these two categories, I'm far more worried about the Red Sox on offense than I am about their pitching. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Which is shocking, because they were an excellent offensive team last year, and they basically returned the entire team.
Yeah, they did. And I think some of what they brought back, we anticipated was probably not as good as they performed, mainly the first base platoon. Yeah. And whatever was going to happen at second. But we also expected that some guys were going to take leaps forward as they were still young and developing, and that hasn't quite happened yet. So the offense is a little bit behind.
Well, let's get to perhaps the ugliest part of the entire team thus far, and that is the defense. The defense for your 2019 Red Sox, they are 25th in baseball with 21 errors. Devers has 8 by himself. Nunez has 2. No one else on the team has more than 1. And in terms of overall defensive ranking, which takes in some of those advanced metrics, Fangraphs ranks them 25th in total defense. So clearly, Keaton, we have a defensive unit here that is not doing the pitching staff any favors whatsoever.
No, it is not. And Devers actually has more errors himself than Kansas City has and Milwaukee has. And he's only 1 behind the Dodgers.
He's been a complete fucking nightmare.
He has. Yeah, he really has. And without his 8 errors, there actually would be top 10, which is a far cry from the 25th that they are. So that shows you that a lot of their defensive errors are coming from one spot, which they have ways of addressing. But I think we still, for the most part, have some faith that he can figure it out. I mean, he is still 22, but it's the dilemma of, yeah, okay, he's 22, but we've been giving him every day at bats for over a year now, and how long do we keep sticking him there every day before he has to figure it out?
Yeah, so I don't know how long we can cling to this narrative with Devers. And I think you're right. Like, he is 22. I mean, he's younger than – I just went to a college baseball game today, and there were a good number of kids who redshirted at that game who were older than Rafael Devers. So, like, that puts it into perspective for you. But at the same time, like, when you go around the diamond, are you worried about Moreland's defense? Hell no. Are you worried about – second base defense. Yeah, we are.
There's a reason for that, though.
Right, exactly. Like, you have a whole myriad reason why that's happening, and you understand it. Xander, you're not worried about whatsoever. The outfield, I mean, God, man, you're not worried about that one bit. That's the strength of the team. So you're really looking at one position that's been dragging you down like crazy. I think it magnifies how important third base is to a team defense. It's got to be one of the most important positions on the diamond defensively.
Yeah, for sure. And it probably doesn't help seeing guys like not that I expect Devers' defense to be on the level of like Machado and Arenado or Matt Chapman, but those guys make that Devers right now wouldn't even dream of. And there's just a massive gap between what should be a major league average third baseman and what Devers is playing right now.
Yeah, and I don't know what they're going to do about this. I can't imagine that this is something that Dave Dombrowski is watching and that he is okay with. We know that Dave is a little bit old school and definitely likes good defenders. So I got to think this is killing him to watch this happen right now.
I think that's why when whoever comes back to play second, probably Pedroia getting every day at bats, you're going to see Chavis move over there. And they're going to end up doing something with Devers, either sending him down to get regular playing time or giving him time off.
So, well, I think that that is certainly an option to happen. I think that that is 100% a Band-Aid because best case scenario there is that Chavis comes up, right, and he moves over. Well, Chavis moves over to third, I should say. He's already up and fills in with average defense over there. By all accounts for minor league scouts, I mean, they say that Devers was actually the superior defender to Chavis. He gets the more balls, he has a better arm, all sorts of stuff. But the thing that you're looking for from Chavis is, hey, you might be physically limited and not be able to make plays to your right, you know, with great reaction time or all that stuff. But hopefully Chavis could make fewer of the mental errors that we've seen from Devers. But I guess the hope is that from sending a guy like Devers down for 2-3 weeks or a month or something like that, that might get him jump-started in order to finish out the season with better defense. Because if Chavis is your answer defensively at third, you're pretty well screwed at third.
Couldn't hurt at this point, though, right? And I guess worst case, you just make him play on the bag so that every play is to his left, right?
Yeah, I guess so. You'd be stretching Bogarts pretty hard and begging people to just rip pulls through that side of the infield. But you know, there's no perfect solution right here. If you're picking between Devers and Chavis at third, you're not going to have good defense at third, regardless. So, I mean, bottom line here is that we've diagnosed this, and Ben Jacobson, one of our listeners, asked us another question. He said, why do we suck if this is literally the exact same team we had last year, minus Kimbrel? Well, we've had a lot of regression from guys that we frankly didn't expect to have regression from. I think we thought that Betts wouldn't have as good of a season as he had. We did think that Devers would take a step forward. We thought that Jackie Bradley would be at least what he was last year, and many people thought he'd take a step forward too. So those things plus, Kimbrel is a huge friggin' deal, man. Like Kimbrel, if he's your ninth, that means that Barnes and Brazier are your seventh and eighth, or sometimes those guys can go a little longer and even stretch into the sixth. So that's going to have huge ramifications on the bullpen. And that's 100% on Dombrowski for, you know, allowing this team to go into the year with that situation in the back end of the bullpen.
And as inconsistent as Joe Kelly was, he had 3 months last year with an ERA under 2. So he had two god-awful months in the middle, and I get that. But the last 2 months of the season in the playoffs were stellar, and you don't have him there either. So on top of Barnes, Brazier, Kimbrel, and, you know, I guess hat tip to Ben Carsley on Joe Kelly's great stuff, but I long for Joe Kelly's inconsistency at this point.
Yeah, I agree. And he also led the team in innings from the bullpen last year, so he did throw a lot of innings. Baseball Prospectus has a really interesting way of looking at the standings. In addition to just actually what the team has done, they also do first-order winning percentage, second-order, and third-order winning percentage, which are all slightly different ways of measuring a team's Pythagorean record, taking into account how many runs they've scored and what their defense has been like and quality of opponents and all these different things that are too many to list right now. But basically, when you look at how the Red Sox have performed on the field and what they deserved to have done based on all the stats that we just brought up to you, the Red Sox have actually very slightly overperformed that and are basically 100% in line with what they've done. So they are a true 11-17 baseball team right now. They don't deserve to be any better. This is what they are.
Does that feel wrong to you? Feels pretty accurate to me.
No, not. I mean, I've watched almost every inning of this thing so far, and that jives. So
it sure does.
It's gonna get better, guys. Because Devers can't get much worse. Jackie definitely can't get much worse.
No.
And we're seeing the starters start to turn it around like we talked about, and we are seeing the outfield, minus JBJ, hit pretty well recently. So it's got to go up, right?
Yeah, only place to go. So with all of that, we've diagnosed each phase of the game, taking a look at their Pythagorean record. Where's your panic meter on making the playoffs? Because honestly, even after all that, mine's still kind of low.
So if a 10 is there's no way in hell we're making the playoffs, and a 1 is we're a lock, don't worry about it, I'm somewhere at a 5 right now.
So I think I'm at a 3. Okay. And I'm not sure why I feel that positive, but it may just be how much season is left, coupled with we've seen the potential of what this team can do. But you know what? The Yankees are winning games now too, so that's going to make it even harder with Tampa and the Yankees winning. So
yeah, the Yankees have their entire starting lineup on the IL, or had their entire starting lineup on the IL, essentially, and they are 17-11, just a game and a half back of the Tampa Bay Rays right now.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, but that just highlights something that the Red Sox have completely failed to do, is have any sort of quality depth. The Red Sox did not prepare for that adequately in the off season, and you're seeing that with the Yankees being able to plug in guys from the minor leagues and have success, and the Red Sox just simply don't have good options. The Red Sox are a stars and scrubs lineup. Like, let's just be frank about that. That's exactly what this unit is. Stars and scrubs.
I agree.
Well, Keats, I don't know. I didn't expect 393 baseball to this point. I feel like I'm depressing the listeners. I'm really sorry, guys.
But yeah.
If you're listening to a Red Sox podcast right now, you're probably already depressed. So
maybe I have something to cheer them up, though, because if you think you can do a better job at building a baseball team than Dave Dombrowski, then I have good news for you. We here at Over the Monster have a license to give away for Out of the Park Baseball. So for those of you that don't know what it is, Out of the Park Baseball 20 is the result of 2 decades of dedication to building the best strategic sports game in the world. Licensed by the MLB and the MLB Players Association, Out of the Park 20 is our biggest game ever. It has something for everyone, single player, multiplayer, with or against friends, and global competitive events, and more. So, if you want to build a bullpen, for example, sign Craig Kimbrell, add some depth, and take the Red Sox all the way to the playoffs and rub it in Dombrowski's face, here's your chance. We want to give you a license for Out of the Park Baseball. All you have to do is, on whatever platform you are currently listening to this, go give us a 5-star rating and drop us a review, and we will how long do you want to do this for? 2 weeks?
Yeah, let's just say, you know what, we'll even extend it out. Let's do 3 weeks.
A month?
Month. Let's do a month.
There you go. So you have until June 1st, right?
Yep.
Yeah, June 1st to give us a 5-star rating, drop us a review, and we will randomly select from those, and we will send you a free license of Out of the Park Baseball. So you can put your skills to the test against, apparently other people around the world. That's pretty impressive. Yes. So let's see what you got.
Very good game, by the way. So definitely check that out. And we always do appreciate the reviews. So great point, Keaton. Way to bring the people up. I like it.
I'm here to please.
Let's get to some listener questions. We have already answered a few, but we do have a few more here. So the next listener question that we have is from Hodge, and he asks us, will Sale have his first win before you record this? Hodge, sorry, buddy. No. The Red Sox lost again, despite two earned runs, eight strikeouts from Chris Sale. He still didn't have his big fastball today. So we have a couple more follow-up questions on Sale as well. Well, I guess we only have one other one. From Matt Kitson, he says, what's wrong with Sale? He looks like a former shell of himself. Keaton, any thoughts here on Sale? I don't know if you've had a chance to really talk about him in a while.
Yeah, I don't think I have since the first one we did. Well, at least he has been progressively getting better. We saw him top out. It was his last start or start before at 97, so it seemed like the velocity was coming back today. He topped out at 94, but that was probably to be expected with the weather. They had some massive wind gusting down there on the field, which we saw him do something similar last year. The wind was a bit worse, but he almost abandoned his fastball completely, but was not throwing very hard at all because it was just kind of playing off the wind. It seemed like he was doing that today because there were some weather effects there. So I'm not going to be too concerned with the fact that he wasn't, you know, he didn't put up back-to-back starts where he was touching 97, because I think there was something to it. But I think as things start to warm up, he's going to continue to progress. It's just taking him a lot longer because I think we kind of agree that we feel they were mismanaged leading up to the season and probably could have been more prepared when the season started and just weren't. So yeah. I think we've seen him take positive steps forward like some of the other pitchers, and I just kind of expect it to continue until, you know, he's back to who we expect him to be.
Yeah, one of the things I was encouraged about today from Sale was the six swinging strikes on his four-seam fastball, which is not something we've seen from him very much this year. He had the same amount of swinging strikes on his fastball as he had on his slider today, and he was mixing up the changeup a bit too. So I think he was working with more of his pitches than we had seen in the past, and you know, certainly seeing him get some swings and misses on the fastball is encouraging. So even though it wasn't his big fastball, I do still see progress with him. I mean, we got to remember, guys, too, that he's coming off two historically dominant years, and he is also coming off dealing with a shoulder strain and then pitching deep into the playoffs. So there's a lot of factors here that are working against Chris Sale in the early going, and I almost think we're being too hard on a guy who is super hard on himself too. Like, yeah, it sucks that we're not seeing like the 14 strikeout, you know, seven strong Chris Sale. But I am more confident that Chris Sale is going to work as hard as he possibly can to get back to what he was than I am in basically any player in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, next question comes from the Marx Brothers. All right, comrade. And he asks us, can Chavis stick at second base long term?
I think so. Whether or not he has to or will is something to be seen, but I think he is competent enough to play the position.
I don't think he's going to. And I think that that is because the Red Sox are going to use him as their first baseman next year. I think that they're going to let this pairing of Moreland and Pierce go and use him primarily there. I think he can be a fine first baseman. I don't really buy too much into the fact that you have to be like some 6'4 monster to play over there. It certainly helps a little bit, but we've seen Steve Pierce make plenty of athletic plays over at first base. I don't think he'll be an atrocity there. I do think he could play second, kind of like a Max Muncy type thing, where he goes over there. Ryan McMahon's doing the same thing, but I think that I see him more as a first baseman. I think you can do better up the middle. And there are some interesting second base free agents next year, too, who are coming off of injury. One guy that stands out to me is Scooter Jeanette, who's not like an amazing defender, but certainly has a plus bat. And he's going to be, you know, coming off an injury-shortened season. I wonder if the Red Sox could get him on a shorter show-me deal.
I think that's probably what they end up doing with Chavis. I agree with you there. I also would love to see Scooter. I'm a big Scooter fan. I enjoy that.
Scooter at Fenway would be nice, I think.
That would be nice.
All right, last question of the day comes from Hector MLB Mode, and he said, are we going to win something? If by something, Hector, you mean a baseball game, certainly we will win one of those soon. Are we going to win more of those than we lose? Probably. Are we going to win enough of those to win the division? Probably not. Where are you at with that?
Yeah, oh boy. Thank God there's two wild cards.
I mean, what do you think their percentage of percentage chances to win the division at this point? Ignoring actual math.
15?
15?
Yeah.
15 feels high. I'm going to go with 7.
Yeah, I think you're probably closer.
Yeah, it's not great. All right, peoples. Well, hopefully next time we talk to you next week, we will be reporting more good news and things will be better. But thank you for tuning in and listening to us. Please go on and rate and review us. And remember to do that so we can enter you in our OOTP baseball little sweepstakes here to get a free code for that. And also remember to follow us on Twitter. You can follow the Over the Monster account at Over the Monster. You can follow Keaton at The Spoken Keats, and you can follow me at DevJake. So thanks so much for tuning in, and we will be with you for next week's edition of the show.